Hey, IRRR listeners, there's another program, World of Radio, now well over 2,000 weekly editions, with multiple broadcasts on two major shortwave stations in the U.S., WRMI and WBCQ, also IRRS in Europe and Unique Radio in Australia. There are several chances to hear me, Glenn Hauser, on Sunday evenings, among others, and podcasts on demand. Full schedule info, plus loads of other material, especially about shortwave, at worldofradio.com.
Welcome, everyone, to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. It is Sunday, May the 15th, and we thank you for joining us. My name's Sheldon. I am here with Jill. And we are here every Sunday morning on CKUT with 30 minutes of news and information from the world of radio. You can reach us by email, radioreport@yahoo.com. We are live streaming and archived at the CKUT website, ckut.ca. Our Facebook group is International Radio Report, and we had a nice spike of new members this week. We want to welcome the following people: Peter, Wade, Ken, Timothy, Theo, Rascal, Dan, Mark, Louis, Ifoke, and Carmen, all joining us this week. Welcome to the group, bringing us to 776 members. And we have a YouTube channel. If you want to go back and listen to the show or listen to previous shows, go to youtube.com/International Radio Report. You can subscribe to the channel, receive notices every time the new shows go up there. We have 637 subscribers at this point in time. So we thank you all for being out there and supporting the show and listening in. We have a good mix of program information for you today. Lots of stories going on around near home, some around home, some around the world. So we'll get going right away. Starting off, though, we want to reflect a little bit on last week's show, where we were commenting on the reaction to the Dan Robinson and Keith Perron commentary published in Radio World April the 4th and updated April the 8th, which was entitled "Why Reviving Shortwave Radio is a Non-Starter." This saga continues. There are just more articles coming and follow-ups and more comments coming as we go along. We are continuing to make them available to you, posting them on our Facebook group. We have put all the previous ones out there as well. And we do recommend that you go and read them, evaluate them yourself, make up your own opinions. You can write to Radio World and put out your own comments if you like. You can send us comments. It's an open discussion. We kind of want to wrap it up here today, though. I do want to, as promised to the authors of the commentary, I am making a correction to something we did say on last week's program regarding the mention that I made of the article, their commentary, claiming that there were only 300 or 400 shortwave listeners in North America. That, in fact, was not mentioned in their commentary. There were just so many things flying around, I misquoted it from there, but it does come from somewhere else. That particular phrase was not mentioned in the commentary by the two authors. In fact, it was mentioned in a comment that I received in response to the articles from Mr. Ken Ricci, who was responding to the original commentary in Radio World. Ricci said, and I quote, "I've gone 10 rounds with Mr. Perron, and despite claiming he had data that he refused to share or claimed he couldn't share that proved there were fewer than 300 to 400 shortwave listeners in North America," unquote. To that statement, Keith Perron responded, and I quote, "I was explaining how Radio Netherlands came to the conclusion to drop shortwave to North America. Just before the cut was made, Radio Netherlands Worldwide, over a few months broadcast, a message during transmission, which asked listeners if they had listened to shortwave to write in. Over the course of 5 to 6 months, they only received between 300 and 400 letters and emails." Now, when I read that, obviously that, to me, in no way reflects that that is the number of shortwave listeners in North America. Whether Mr. Ricci interpreted that in that fashion, I don't really know. But that's where that quote came about, the 300 to 400 listeners in shortwave listeners in North America. So just want to make that clear. One additional thing I will say about this, and there's another commentary that's been put up just today, actually, when we're recording the show, may have been yesterday. I've kind of lost track at this point in time. But I did send a response to it, a brief one, to Radio World. It's a new article. It does appear in Radio World. I think the reason there has been so much feedback on the original commentary by Mrs. Perrone and Robinson is reflected in their follow-up commentary that includes a statement like this, and I'm quoting it word for word. CRI, China Radio International, has long had a service targeting Taiwan, the China Radio International Taiwan Province Language Service, in Hakka and Taiwanese, active for more than 40 years on 5 to 6 shortwave frequencies. But in Taiwan, no one had heard of it. No one. Unless either or both of these writers have spoken to or surveyed every one of a population of over 23 million people in Taiwan, I doubt that you'd find anyone on the planet who would believe that they did that. It should make readers possibly question the legitimacy of any statistical information that's been presented up to date. So I do not see how you can make a statement like that and expect anyone to believe that. 23 million people, and Perrone claims that nobody has listened to that service or heard of it, I guess. Heard of it, he says. I don't know.
I'll just say one little thing here about this. I think we spent enough time on this commentary, maybe too much time on this commentary. But one thing that I'll say here regarding one comment on the YouTube channel by Dan Robinson saying that, you know, the International Radio Report should be a little more professional and, you know, more research. I'm sorry, but we were a lot more researched than the original commentary, which states absolutely no facts to back up anything. We went to get numbers. Numbers that, of course, you have to say, oh, well, those numbers are not real. It's impossible. It's like, well, we have numbers, and numbers come from the Texan website. They come from, you know, looking at the YouTube channel, the popularity of Facebook groups, which, by the way, were the active Facebook groups. We're not going to quote Facebook groups that did not have activity on them. I'm sorry, but this is much more a journalistic experience where we actually did find facts to back up some of our comments.
Yeah, I'll just wrap it up by saying that go and read the articles for yourself. Everybody's entitled to their own opinions, their own commentaries. Believe what you want to believe. Research what you want to research. If we get handed information from Texan, we can report on that information. We don't have any way of backing it up. But if we find we've made a mistake about something, we're going to correct it,
yep.
Which we've done today. We try to put out as much accurate information as we possibly can. We have to do the same evaluation process ourselves. We have to look at the source. We have to try to find and back up things as best we can. Some things we just can't. This one article in itself, the first one, has sparked so much response, so much input from so many people, particularly now with the situation in Ukraine. If a country or a broadcaster decides we're going to put a program on the air, a service on the air, I don't care if 1,000 people listen to it, 10,000 people listen to it, or one person listens to it.
Yep.
They listened and they got something important or informative from it, then what's the problem? There's no shortwave revival. This is how this whole thing started. Somebody maybe used the word revival. I don't know who it was, but people are putting services on the air. Some people are even donating their own money to put programming on the air because they feel it's important. Then what harm is being done? And like I said, if one person or 10,000 or 1 million people listen, it doesn't make a difference. Somebody's listening. So we move on.
So there's a controversial radio host here in Quebec that died this week. Former member of parliament André Arthur died at 78. This is from the Montreal Gazette on May the 9th. So this is a very local news, but I'll give you an idea of who that guy was in some of the comments of my years of my mom listening. Former radio host André Arthur died on Sunday, according to the messages he wrote in advance that were published on his Twitter account. He was 78. The cause of death was not announced. On Wednesday, he had announced that he had a chronic obstructive pulmonary disease that had never been diagnosed. He died at the Institut Universitaire de Cardiologie et de Pneumologie de Québec. The controversial host had been on the air in Quebec since the beginning of the 80s. Arthur was also a member of parliament for the riding of Portneuf, Jacques Cartier, near Quebec City, from 2006 to 2011 as an independent. After his 2011 electoral defeat, he returned to the radio in Quebec City, but not without controversy. He was let go by CHOI or Choix Radio X in 2016, and then by Boulevard or 102.1 after making homophobic comments in 2018. I had the privilege of having a career as a bus driver, a referee, an elected representative in the House of Commons as an independent without allegiance to a party, a space in the media that I hope did not leave anyone indifferent, and that I succeeded in making you laugh, Arthur wrote in his posthumous tweet. Arthur leaves his son René, 3 grandchildren, his daughter Pascal, his tender Lucy, and his brother Louis. I was, you know, in my young adult years when basically my mom started listening. Well, my mom listened to CKVL 850, where André Arthur was there every day. So I was in the house most of the time, you know, hearing. And of course, the radio's playing, somebody's talking, you listen. He started out kind of a very, I would say the first couple of years, even though he was sometimes a little on the edge, were not that bad. But as time went by, I think he got a little more aggressive and went further in his comments and his personal comments about things. A lot of them, unfortunately, going many times with, you know, comments about the different communities around Quebec, disrespectful comments of many of them, especially the Haitian, Arabic communities. And also, of course, in the end, the homophobic comments also. I think as the time went by, he was going further and further in his comments, possibly maybe seeing that there's an audience and a bigger audience somehow because he's getting a little more controversial. And you get more controversial, what happens? People talk about you because you say stuff that people, and people are going to listen. You say stuff as, oh, he said that last week, so what's going to happen? A lot more people want to hear what that guy has to say. You know, he had times had interesting comments and at times was in the controversies. He was probably one of the first in Quebec to really take that direction on the radio. I don't recall anybody before André Arthur that really, you know, was very controversial on radio in Quebec. And unfortunately, you know, it ended bad, and it probably gives more of a negative outlook of who he was and what happened on the radio. And of course, he was the guy that probably helped a few others, including one well-known in Quebec City that always is in trouble for his personal comments. So he sparked probably other people to get into that direction of what I call, you know, trash radio at times, because it's just way too out there, too controversial. There are ways to talk about subjects without necessarily, you know, telling communities that they're bad or you know, you're on the wrong side of things. But unfortunately, he was one of the first, if not the first, to be there. And, well, yes, he made his mark, and I think he didn't leave anybody indifferent on the radio.
Yeah, I think he, you know, if you were going to classify him in a category of broadcaster, I guess he would fall into the Quebec version of the shock jock.
Yeah.
You know, a term that we've heard with so many broadcasters over the year. And then, you know, when he got tied up with Radio X, I mean, the X was X-rated, more or less. They wanted to be, you know, cutting edge and take chances And many times, even after Andre Artur, they went over the line, and you know, people lost their jobs. They were fined. They had to issue retractions on the air. And yep. Canadian Broadcast Standards Council was after them. They almost lost their license at one time. You know, they just kept trying to push the envelope, and you know, you reach a certain point where you can't pull it back. You know, you've gone too far, and I think that's, you know, he kind of started that, and then it got the ball rolling, and others followed, and each one wanted to take it a little step further.
Yep, and even his career was like that. It started, you know, not that bad, kind of something you want to listen to, but as time went by, it derailed and went too far in that direction.
All right, another Canadian story we have next, and this is for amateur radio interest in particular. Canadian amateurs to use special prefixes for the Platinum Jubilee. This is via Southgate Amateur Radio News. Canada's radio amateurs will be using special prefixes, X-ray Kilo, X-ray Juliet, Victor Golf, and Victor X-ray from today, May the 15th, through July 14th, to celebrate the Platinum Jubilee of Queen Elizabeth II. There will also be Canadian special event stations on the air throughout that period using special call signs. So if you're interested in, if you're a ham in Canada and you want to use these special prefixes, you can. And if you like to look for special event stations, there will be a number of them coming up using those special prefixes as well. Once we have a list of some of those, we'll get those to you on the air as well, so you can be on the lookout for them.
There's the FCC that sends pirate radio notices to property owners. This is via Radio World. The Federal Communications Commission has sent notices to several property owners of alleged pirate radio activities on their properties. The letters from the Enforcement Bureau are headlined Notice of Illegal Pirate Radio Broadcasting. They remind the owners that the federal law now provides for fines of up to $2 million if we determine that you have continued to permit any individual or entity to engage in pirate radio broadcasting from the property that you own or manage. The Bureau said its agents used direction-finding techniques to source these FM signals. It mailed letters to Richard Manson for broadcast on 103.5 MHz in Philadelphia in January, Maria V. Hernandez of Kissimmee, Florida, for signals on 87.9 in Hazleton, Pennsylvania, in January, to Edwin and Joyce Pitt of Baltimore, Maryland, for signals on 91.3 in February, and to Kent and Deanna Kopinger for signals on 100.5 in La Grande, Oregon, in March. The letters provide recipients 10 business days to show that they are no longer permitting pirate radio broadcasting to occur at the property. The commission also asks that the owners identify the individuals engaged in pirate radio broadcasting on the property. I believe this is one of the new provisions in the laws that they have, that now even the property can be designated as pirate land, basically.
Yeah, it would be like if you had a business and, you know, you were allowing some strange things to be going on in your back room or something, you know, you're aiding and abetting a crime,
yeah,
basically, is what they're looking at this as. You know, if people are not wanting to broadcast their pirate station from their own location and they go out and rent a room in some building or something, and the owner, whether he knows or doesn't know what they're doing there, is now going to be as equally guilty as the pirate broadcasters themselves. So they're hoping that that will certainly discourage people from allowing this sort of activity to go on their property.
It'd be interesting to see on these big apartment building towers, if you have a pirate station, what they're going to do.
Exactly.
So what's happening with our sun? Well, the sun is pretty active. There's a lot of solar flares. I mean, it's crazy the amount of solar flares that the sun has actually produced this week. Funny thing about it is that all the flares are all directed mostly from the edge of the sun, so none of them really sparked any coronal mass ejections that probably going to hit Earth. So we won't have any geomagnetic activity due to these flares. But remember that every time that there are flares, there will be a radio blackout temporarily as the flare happens. This, of course, happens on the daylight side of the Earth. So if you lose signals temporarily, maybe a solar flare, a lot of them this week, the sun is peppered with sunspot groups. Sunspot number is 112, solar flux 133, not too bad. Conditions are quiet as we are recording the show. There will be a possible solar wind flowing from a coronal hole that could reach the Earth on May 16th or 17th. That could spark auroras or at least some geomagnetic instabilities. So if radio signals tend to change, you'll notice immediately. Lots of really nice propagation when conditions are right. We're getting into what is pretty much summer propagation of shortwave in the northern hemisphere. And lots of stuff to listen to. And of course, there's only one way you can actually notice the activity is to turn on a radio and listen.
You are listening to the International Radio Report. Your reactions are much appreciated. Feel free to send them to radioreport@yahoo.com. That is radioreport@yahoo.com. Thank you.
We next take you over to Europe, to Hungary, with a report that comes from Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Hungarian service. And this was reported in Radio World. Independent Hungarian station to lose license. An independent radio station in Budapest is set to lose its broadcasting license, renewing concerns about media freedom in Hungary. Telos Radio's management learned that their permit would not be extended in September over what the country's media authority says were, quote, several breaches of regulations, unquote. Hungary's recently re-elected Prime Minister, Viktor Orban, has been accused by the European Union in the past of restricting press freedom to maintain his party's grip on power. I think Telos Radio has the right to exist, but of course, I don't live on the moon, says Fernik David of the radio station, and I see the media climate we live in. The question is how many of us can expect our will to keep it going? Telos is a rarity because we only do live broadcasts that cannot be edited nor erased, said Gabor Sabai. A foul sentence cannot be cut out or replaced. Everything that is said goes out on the air. This is a very thin ice to walk on, which unfortunately sometimes breaks. Telos Radio began as a pirate station in 1991. Telos means in Hungarian, forbidden. It was Hungary's first community radio station funded by listeners. I think that the mere fact that a radio station with such a wide musical spectrum and such content that has been heard on the FM dial is unique and very important, said Bensi Szczak. Telos Radio almost lost its license in 2014, but the media regulator backed down. In the end, we decided not to submit our application and we filed a lawsuit instead. Before we went to court, the media regulator said, okay, you can continue to use the frequency. I think it won't be any different now, and we'll probably get another frequency permit. But until then, it's very important for many of us as possible to say that Telos Radio must continue to exist. Telos Radio intends to reapply for its frequency, but if it fails to get a new permit, it will continue with its programming online. So some things that maybe the current government of Hungary doesn't want to be heard on the radio. So what do? You get your regulator to tell them that they're not going to get a license renewal.
Yep. Unfortunately, Hungary is not necessarily going in the right direction.
Yeah. And, you know, they'll try to back it up by saying, well, you know, you're breaking rules or regulations or that sort of thing, you know, try to cover it under one reason when maybe you really want it gone for another reason. So,
and we have Iran officials that are warning the radio staff not to bring up economic woes. This is via Radio Info Asia. Management has warned staff at a state-run radio station in Iran not to bring up economic hardship, as this is now viewed as a national security matter. In a recent voice message sent to all producers and presenters of Radio Farhang, the radio station's director strongly warns them to avoid reporting economic woes and the government's responsibility and threatens them that mistakes will not be forgiven because these issues are now viewed as national security matters. In an audio recording of the message, which Iran International has acquired, the director also says that instead of discussing these problems, in the current circumstances, the media should strive to advance the psychological security of the society and don't include newspaper headlines that are gloomy, critical, or about high prices in the programs. Avoid criticism of the government, the official tells staff, until the dust settles and smoke clears, because criticism of government may turn into criticism of the state in its entirety. Poverty has soared in the country to unprecedented levels, according to official figures released by the Interior Ministry. In a total, around 60% of the 84 million Iranians live under the relative poverty line, of whom between 20 to 30 million live in absolute poverty. In 2010, for instance, the number of those living under the absolute poverty line was around 10 million, according to the government statistics. So this is, of course, another way of being careful, because that is another example of, if you're not careful to what you say, we can shut you down.
Yeah, it's that I haven't heard of this sort of thing before, though, of, you know, we don't talk about how bad things are right now.
Yep.
You know, everything's fine out there. Don't worry about it. But this is going to a little bit of an extreme. I was quite surprised to read this story and to see the numbers that are, you know, pretty dramatic, you know, doubling and tripling in some cases, the people living in such poverty in Iran. So again, you know, we keep repeating it over and over and over, that important information that people want to get out on the radio, and some people don't want it there, so they find ways to stop it. And this is the government control, sadly, in so many countries around the world these days.
So we have upcoming ham radio contests.
Yeah, we have a few coming up for the next weekend. One is a kind of an interesting one out of New Zealand. It's called the Sangster Shield Contest. I was puzzled when I saw the name. I didn't know what this was all about. 0800 Zulu, May 21st to 1100 Zulu, May 22nd. It's organized by the New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters. Presented to the amateurs of New Zealand by Mr. Ralph Sangster in 1927. It is the New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters' longest-standing amateur contest. Ralph intended that the shield be awarded annually to the CW station obtaining the highest score in a low-power contest. So the Sangster Shield is actually a shield. It's an award of some sort. So the band will be only 80 meters, and the mode only CW, and stations must not exceed 5 watts of power. So this is a really interesting challenge going on in New Zealand on CW 80 meters.
His Majesty King of Spain contest, CW 12 Zulu, May 21st to 12 Zulu, May 22nd, organized by the Union of Spanish Radio Aficionados. Bands 10, 15, 20, 40, 80, and 160 meters on CW.
We have the Arkansas QSO party, 1400 Zulu, May 21st to 0200 Zulu, May 22nd. That is organized by the Noise Blankers Radio Group. That's a neat name for a group. The bands 160 through 6 meters, and it's all modes, CW, SSB, and digital. So if you're looking for Arkansas ham radio as a state in your, maybe your worked all states list, you may find them at next weekend.
And finally, we have the Baltic Contest, 21 Zulu, May 21st to 02 Zulu, May 22nd, organized by the Lithuanian Radio Sports Federation. It's 80 meters only, CW and SSB.
All right, that is what we have for you this week. We thank you for tuning in. As always, we welcome your comments, questions, whatever you have. Radioreport@yahoo.com is our email address, and we do invite you to join our Facebook group, International Radio Report, and also check out our YouTube channel, International Radio Report. That is it for this week. We'll talk to you again next Sunday morning with our next edition of the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye-bye.
decided to sit down and write a little something. But I said, geez, I haven't seen my friend in such a long time. Then I said, oh, you know what? You should listen to CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. And then you wouldn't miss me so much. Should I do another one?
No.
No? Okay.
Thank you.